Welcome, everybody. Sorry. They tell me we're behind, and so we got to get going. So welcome to our class today. We appreciate you being here. Obviously, you're interested in dating. That's kind of cool. No? So we are going to talk about the red flags of dating today. So anyway, just so we can get a feel for... Sorry? Oh, she's good. Look, so we understand the class a little bit better. Thanks, sweetheart. Hey, how many of you are a year or under in terms of losing your spouse? So 1 year. Okay, just get a good feel for that. All right, so kind of heartbeats hard for you guys there. That's a tough time. What about between 2 and 5 years out? Okay, a little bit more. 6 to 10? Okay. Yeah. Oh, you're going to keep your hand up till I get to like 20, something like that, Heidi? Is that where we're at? All right, a 10 or more. Okay, so that's pretty concentrated. We're at the group then. So we're like, except for Heidi, she's the only one over 10 years, it sounds like. All right. That's true. That's true. Heidi and I call it my class. She's in my class of widowhood. So we kind of came, we came out together. No, I get that. I get that. Let me just say we went to school the same year. How's that? All right. So Marnie is handing out the handout that we have. And just on this handout are some of the links that we'll be talking about that you can go to and some of the things that you can look up, talks that we have available that you can do some research on your own if you're interested. So we're going to kind of cruise through some of this stuff, particularly since we're a little bit late on time. But what we'd like to do, we chose to do a kind of a fireside chat format. So we're going to stand here and we're going to talk to you. And if you have questions, feel free to raise your hand. We're not experts by any means, but the reason we're in this class is because we found the red flags, maybe even created some of them. So hopefully what we have to share will be beneficial. But feel comfortable. Let's chat. And we just hope. Question already? Oh, Marnie?
So we've done this class once before, and I'm really nervous to do it today because it went really well, and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, how can we do it well again? So this will probably flop. But we had some really good responses, and we're so grateful for that. But just to introduce us a little bit, Kelly, this is his wife, Denise. Denise, would you please stand? Yeah, she has to, because they thought we were married in the last class, and we never told them. And so, anyway, I have been widowed for 7 years, and Kelly was also widowed for 7 years, and then he married Denise. But in that seven-year period, we both went through a lot of the same things, and we went through a lot of dating experiences, a lot of heartache and struggles. We watched a lot of our friends get married in unhealthy relationships and get divorced, and it was just really heartbreaking and sad, all this... these things that I'm sure you guys are experiencing yourselves, but we've learned a lot from it all. And so we were so excited to have this opportunity to do this class, to share what we have learned in the effort to hope that you will learn from us and help prevent some heartache in your life.
Sorry, we're going to be doing this all the time and kind of step on each other. But one of the things I wanted you to know to accentuate here is that there is a high divorce rate among widows and widowers, and that's why we wanted to talk about some of this stuff, okay? Just to keep you aware of what you might be dealing with as you're out into this new dating game.
Okay, so let's start with a story. When I was 6 years old, my mom decided that I needed to learn to swim, and so she put me in swimming classes. And I remember the first day I was standing on the edge of the pool, and the instructor told me to jump in, and he'd catch me. And I'm like, oh, I don't even want to take swimming lessons. Are you kidding me? And so with a lot of patience and encouragement, they finally convinced me to jump in and he'd catch me, which he did, but not before my head went under. And as you can imagine, I panicked and I thought I was drowning and I breathed in all this water and I started coughing and choking and thought I was just going to die. And I remember thinking all I wanted was to get out of that pool, back on solid ground. And I relate this story to our widowhood experience, similar to how I felt when I first became widowed. All I felt like was I'd been thrown into this massive pool of grief and was supposed to know how to swim through it. And I felt like I was sinking, I couldn't breathe, and all I wanted to do was get out and back on solid ground. And you know how it feels. You can't imagine feeling better at that moment. You just, gosh, how am I going to live this life feeling this way? And you don't realize it's going to get better. And my way to deal with it, I thought, okay, I've got my four kids. My youngest was 10 at the time, and I thought, okay, calculate, she'll be 18 in 8 years. Okay, I can do this for 8 more years, and then I'm done. And I didn't know what that meant, but for me, that helped me cope. It was like, okay, I'll just hang in 8 years. But fast forward now, it's been 7, and I feel completely different. I actually am very happy, and I have a joyful life now, and I'm so grateful. And so this class is to, we're going to talk about that later. So for now, Kelly's going to tell you about his experience. Yeah.
So one of the things to keep in mind, particularly for the people that are out just a year, one of the things I noticed is that every year I felt better than the year before. So I'd look back and I'd think, oh, I'm doing so much better than the year before. That happened every year. So those of you that understand what I'm talking about, to help out these people that are in their first year, you need to understand that you think you're healthy, you may or may not be. Just remember that. And that you progress every single year, you get better. Now, we don't want to depress you. You need to be out dating, but we want you to be prepared and ready. My story was my wife died of an accidental drug overdose. It was prescription drugs. And I went into I call it an emotional coma. I was just dead emotionally. So about 2 months out, my friend comes to me. This is the man mentality. You know, when we have a problem, we just, you know, it's task. Let's get to work. Let's fix it. No big deal, right? Well, 2 months out, my friend says, dude, you got to get back on the horse. You know, fix that broken heart. You just need to go out and find another wife. No, it was that simple, right? So I thought, okay, I'll take his advice. I didn't know any better. I was really stupid at the time. Like I said, I wasn't feeling much anyway. So I got online. Anybody doing the online thing? Carrie, you did. Yes, you did. So we may hear a little bit from Heidi later. So, all right. Oh, gotcha. All right. So I put out some pictures and did what, you know, the stuff you do online. I couldn't buy a date. I'd send out a message to somebody. Nobody would respond to my messages. And maybe you felt the same way, maybe not. I started thinking, what's wrong with me? I thought I was okay. You know, I couldn't get anything. So, I'd go on for a month, and then nothing was happening, so I'd get off. Then the loneliness would kick in. And you know what I'm talking about. I remember times in my life when it was so bone-crushing. I was driven to my knees in tears. Those Fridays and Saturday nights when everybody else was home or, you know, out dating or at least with their spouse at home, and you're sitting there at home with nothing to do, tough. So I go back out online. That was my cycle. So if you're going through that, it's okay, because hopefully you'll see the light at the end of the tunnel when we're done with this thing. But finally, this lady sent me this little note, and it said, you seem like you're a nice guy, but you also look really unhappy. And I was. I was wearing all of that pain. And every picture that I put up showed it. And I was not getting anywhere. So we just decided, me and myself and I, it's time to change. So I went out. I got involved. I got involved in a kickboxing class. I started running. And I got in better shape than I was even in high school. And it began to make the difference. And that's going to lead into the first principle that Marnie is going to talk about.
Thank you. Okay, so we are going to talk about 3 principles in this class. Kelly and I spent a lot of time trying to organize our thoughts and ideas to present this class. And we really realized that we could probably do a 6-week course in this. So we narrowed it down to 3 principles. And this first principle is really so important. We feel, so we're going to talk a little bit about it so you can really understand it. And this first principle is, begin with the end in mind, finding joy in the journey. So what does it mean to begin with the end in mind, finding joy in the journey? Do you think it means marriage?
No.
No, it doesn't. Ultimately, our goal is to return with our Father in heaven. That is our focus. Okay? So on this journey, marriage may happen, but that is not the focus. If we're hyper-focused on marriage and remarriage, and that doesn't happen, What that's doing is setting ourselves up for sadness and disappointment. Or if we're super hyper-focused on finding someone to fix our loneliness and pain, then it's really easy to get into unhealthy relationships because we're so focused on our own pain, we're not recognizing the crazy person we're dating. And I can say that because I've done it. So this principle is to emphasize how important it is to take the time to heal. This is precious time right now. Time to align your will with God's will and work at becoming your very best self. For example, focus on finding out who you are. What makes you happy? What do you love to do? Try new things you've never done before. Find joy in serving. Find joy in finding fun, healthy, fun people to lift you and have fun with. You know, I have, like I said, been widowed for 7 years. I have done more new things and created more fun and more hobbies than I did in my whole 25 years of marriage because my husband was sick for 9 years. And before that, we were busy getting him through 3 college degrees and raising the family. And like now it's like, oh my gosh, my life is so fun. I have all these hobbies that I never knew.
Here's a tip. She learned how to fish. Guys love that.
I bought a fishing pole and learned how to fish. We'll get into all those other things that I learned. But anyway, so basically, people are truly attracted to people who are confident, who are happy, because they lift you. So if you're healthy and confident and happy, you're going to attract other healthy, confident, happy people. And then a relationship can naturally develop, a healthy one. So that's the main point of this first principle, but we're going to go a little bit more into that.
So those of you've heard this statement by Joseph Smith, we quote it often, but he says that happiness is the object and design of our existence. You've all heard that, right? So we want to talk about that a little bit so that we get that. If that really is the object and design of our existence, what do we have to do to be happy? This is where you guys get to participate. Yes. I love that. That's exactly right. It's like Marnay talked about. What is it that you love to do? Find some things, some hobbies and things that you didn't get to do when you were married or even younger. I learned that I love to travel. I got some friends and we hang out and we had a blast. It was a lot of fun. Heidi.
No, I love the country dance. My husband had the rhythm. So coordinated but had the rhythm.
Yeah.
So that's one of the first things I actually did.
Okay.
Yep.
Absolutely. So here's what we do when we find ourselves single. Don't we want to get right back in there? When our relationship was good, or maybe it wasn't so good, but most of us, the soon as we're single, we start focusing on, well, I got to find that spouse. I got to get married. That's all we're thinking about. But when you step through that, you begin to realize, as Marnay talked about, it sets you up. Because what happens if you get rejected? Now you start saying, what's wrong with me? Why aren't I good enough for somebody? But if you're focused on being happy and not getting married, so what if somebody rejects you? What does it matter? Because that's not what your life is about. That's not your focus. You're out trying to make yourself happy. Let me read your name. Kent.
Kent. I'm just curious about the opposite.
Can you stand up and turn around so everybody can hear that?
I just started dating, so I'm not that much into it, but I met like some that are like, yeah, I'm happy, I'm all going, and I'm like, and you don't seem like you really need me at all either. You're off, you know, you're happy. Well, you don't need me, so.
Yeah.
Find someone else.
Do you want to address
it? I have no idea.
Okay. Heidi.
Here's the thing. We as women have to go and find stuff to make us happy. And men do too. Here's the thing. I'm not needy, but I want somebody in my life. And I need somebody in my life ultimately. But you have to earn the right to be there too. And I don't mean that in any kind of ornery way. But you have to earn the right. So there's a natural progression with that. And you actually want to date somebody who doesn't need you.
Whatever happened, what's
your name? I need to, Sharon? Okay.
Well, it just depends on what you like to do. So, if you like to do a lot of things, if you're not doing a lot of things that are making you happy, you're not going to want somebody along for the ride either. So you need to develop that in you. So you're going to be like, okay, this girl likes all the same things or most of the same things I like. We need to, like, do all the same things together. Does that make sense?
Okay, so, oh, sorry, please, what's your name? Carrie?
There is a trend, though, going on with at least my age group, because I went to a singles group activity 2 weeks ago, and it is, like, kind of what he's saying, is that there, it's more about just having fun, and there's no commitment. And so I think that that's what he's kind of referring to. I think a little bit. It's not necessarily the need to, but it's like some people finally get focused on, oh, I want to have fun all the time and have all these hobbies and everything, but I don't have time to be responsible or have that relationship.
Yeah, so here, let's...
Both women were like 9 years from there.
Let's do a little separation here, if we can. No, we want the comments. We are widows and widowers. Our separation is a little bit different emotionally. I don't know how to word this. We take it differently than a divorce. A divorce, there's a sin involved usually, and it's a break, and there's unhappiness and anger and everything else. We lose somebody that, that dies, obviously, and we just have a different feel about it. And so what we're talking about is not getting stuck in the pain of being a widow, okay? That's what we're talking about. That's why we're saying get out. What happens is this vulnerability is the first thing that starts to affect us emotionally. When we're vulnerable, then we're available to Satan and a bunch of other things that we're going to get into as well. So that's why we're addressing it this way. So I think I don't know that the widows and widowers are a lot like this as much as maybe some of the divorced people are. So for us, we deal with it a little bit differently. It happens different. So we've got to really be careful of that vulnerability. We have two questions right here.
That's the principle I was trying to teach. Thank you for clarifying that. And to address your concern, my thoughts were, I feel like since I've been out there and dated a lot of single people, they've been so, divorced people, they've been so hurt that oftentimes they have an attitude, I'm just going to make myself happy and I don't want to open up and be hurt again. So it's kind of like a wall, but you have to kind of discern it. You know what I'm saying? Am I wording it right? Do you have a comment?
I've been divorced, and now I'm widowed.
Okay.
I've done both.
Holy smokes.
It's completely different.
Okay.
When you get divorced, it's a choice. Whether it's your choice, or whether it's your spouse's choice, or whether it's mutual, someone involved is a choice. When you are a widow or a widower, it's not your choice.
Right.
And it's completely different.
You deal with it differently.
Yeah, you deal with it differently. So if you're dating someone that's been divorced, like for me, when I dated after I was divorced, I was like, party, I wanted it as much as I could get dating.
Yeah. Nope.
Not necessarily. Here's a comment I wanted to make. This is just my opinion. I don't know but I've experienced... In a relationship, you can bond on pain, and you can bond on positive, uplifting things. You have to bond on some level to build a relationship. So when you bond on pain, I think that's a common... That's not a good thing. I'll give you an example. When I was 6 months out, so I was in a lot of grief, a lot of pain, my daughter's teacher called me. And wanted to meet with me because he had just lost his wife 6 weeks before. He said, I just need somebody to talk to, someone who understands. And I'm sure I'm happy to do that for you. And I thought it'd be good for me too. Well, we started bonding on our pain, which is not a good place to build a relationship. And suddenly we're dating. And suddenly he's like 3 weeks out, like he wants to marry me and he loves me. And I'm like, whoa, I don't hardly even know you. Like, can I ask some questions? Like, do you have addiction problems? Like, do you like to, are you addicted to gambling? like to shop? You're addicted to pornography. You know, I'd kind of like to know these things. He said, well, oh, no, no, not none of those things, but I probably need to tell you that I am sleeping with another woman. But I don't love her. I love you. And I'm just doing it because I'm mad at God and I want to get back with him. And I know, it's just crazy. And I'm thinking...
You didn't marry that guy?
I know. I dated him. I know, right? Okay, so okay. Here's the next thing. He was a...
What's wrong with you, Maria?
The thing is, he was a catch, but he was so broken. He's a mess. And my brokenness, I didn't really recognize it, so I continued to date him a little longer, thinking, oh, I can fix him. We women do that. And so he was highly respected in the community. He was a fantastic teacher. Parents wanted their children in his classroom. He was a fantastic father, and he was sealed in the temple to his wife. He was just so broken. He didn't know how to deal with the pain. He was completely going on emotion versus thinking. He did not take the time to heal. Kristen?
So it's very common for what happened with you to happen.
Very.
And for people to bond in sorrow.
Can you hear Kristen in the back?
Sorry,
when you stand
I'm losing
up,
my voice. Because they are recording us.
So it's very common for what happened with you to happen. And one of the reasons is... one of the definitions for intimacy is when we share something that is very private or emotional with someone else, and they respond in the way we need them to respond. And if we're both going through the same thing, what's going to happen? They're going to get it. And so for me, I've been so extra cautious about that. I won't even, you know, go into an emotional place there because I'm so afraid that will happen. But that is intimacy, and that's how emotional affairs begin, is because you may be in a lunchroom with a coworker. You're both having issues with your spouses, and you share something, and they go, oh, my gosh, she gets it. And they share the same thing, and all of a sudden you have an intimate moment. Anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Great comment. And so I just want to overlay again the first principle, that what that says is with our vulnerability and our emotional state, we are not thinking as clearly as we would be in a normal condition, okay? So remember that. Most of what we're talking about is what we're going through. These three principles are blockers of our logic self, and we're really stupid when we're dating, okay? So
you just want to put a big Band-Aid on this problem.
Yes. 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 Okay. Good comment.
Well, I think at the same time, we want to be careful. You know, we go out and we do these things. You know, maybe we do kickboxing or join a bowling league or start to golf or whatever. And we learn these new hobbies. And that's good for our self-development, and we meet new people. But those are not things that we can build a lasting relationship on. We can meet new people that way.
Of course you need to have something.
That's what I'm saying. It's a way to meet people, but it's not a way to... You can't build a relationship just on hobbies and just on activities that you have in common.
It starts.
It starts.
That's what I'm saying.
It starts.
That's what I'm saying. It's a way to meet. That's what I'm saying. It's a way to meet people.
Yep.
And... So it's a way to meet people. They have common interests, but your common interests are a way to meet people. But you need to have something deeper besides that you both like people.
No, absolutely, and we're going to get there. But what we're telling you is, in your dating continuum of being happy and becoming healthy, marriage will come along.
Right, exactly.
Don't focus on marriage. That's what the principle that we're trying to teach here. Okay? So, no, good comments, but that's what we're saying.
Yeah, and I just want to emphasize that. We've got to take the time to heal. That's so crucial. How often do we say, I want my old life back, or, oh, gosh, I can't imagine the future all alone? We've got to be okay that we will never be married. I mean, okay with that, but not like that's what I want, but you're okay with yourself. Heidi? It takes a long time.
It was. And
took Kelly 7, he says. Right?
I was 5 years out. I'm like, 5 years, I'm like, this whole thing, I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm finally okay in my widowdom, if that's maybe is even a word. I was finally good with who I was, who I'd become, where I was going.
Okay.
Good comment. Sorry, I'm telling you. We're getting short on
time. I just want to give you two examples, then we're going to move to the next principle. So just to emphasize this last principle. I have a widow friend. She married at 7 months out. And she was asked, did getting married take away the loneliness? And she answered, It didn't. Anyway. She went. Anyway, I'll paraphrase it. She said it didn't. It just complicated it. And she said it really, at times, made it, it was so hard she wanted to give up. It was very hard. It did not take away the loneliness. I remember her saying that. And I have a really dear widower friend who, he was like 2 years widowed. And then he met and married a woman within 4 months. And his children were highly against it, but he thought, oh, they'll come along. They got married. On the honeymoon, he started, oh, well, what have I done? And said, no, I'm just going to have a good attitude. It'll work out. Well, it did work out in financial devastation and a divorce. And to this day, he's still trying to repair all that damage. And it's just really concerning because these things happen a lot and it's heartbreaking. So, okay. So I think we've pretty much emphasized how important it is to take time to heal. We're going to move on to the second principle. Do you want to start with that?
Yeah. All right. So number two. We're going to talk about what happens when you touch, when you kiss, and other stuff. Y'all, there's a lot of research been done on this. You know what we're talking about. But here's what happens when we touch or we kiss. Our bodies are chemicals, and it's biology, right? And so when that happens, our brain kicks in. It kicks in the same kind of chemicals and things that we use when we're married that are meant to bond us to our spouse. So let's talk about some of these. So during a kiss, and by the way, some of these things I'm going to talk about, they've done CAT scans, CT scans of your brain while this has been happening so they can see which centers of your brain light up. It's pretty interesting. So there's a cocktail made up of three chemicals, all designed to make us feel good and crave more, right? You have a great makeout session? Yeah, let's go back to that. That was nice. Okay? So here they are, dopamine, oxytocin, and serotonin. So here's dopamine. It's released during kiss. A kiss can stimulate the same area of the brain activated by heroin and cocaine. See? It's great, right? So there you go. There you go. So, yes. It's called lip service, Heidi. As a result, we experience feelings of euphoria and addictive behavior. We go back to it because it feels good. So that's what a kiss creates when dopamine is secreted. It gives us the intense energy and exhilaration, and it's the stuff that makes you want to stay up all night and, you know, talk and be all cuddly and watch the sunrise together, right? Okay? So that's what's happening. It's a physical thing. It's chemistry. So the other thing is, things that go on here are oxytocin, otherwise known as the love hormone. It fosters feelings of affection and attachment. Now get this one. This is the same hormone that is released during childbirth and breastfeeding. So that's what makes you feel that you are bonding to this person. It happens. Just know it. And that's part of what's going on. The reason we're outlining some of this stuff is because what do you think's happening? We think we're in love. Let me tell you something. From phase one, where I was so lonely, to the first time a lady touched me, and it wasn't inappropriate, she just touched me. My body lit up like a pinball machine. I'm not kidding. It was like, whoa, what in the heck is going on here? And I thought I was in love because it was the same things I felt when I was married. Okay? So be careful of those kinds of things. Serotonin is in the brain while kissing, and it looks a lot on these observations like obsessive compulsive disorder. So they say, no wonder the memory of a good kiss can stay with us for years. All right. So when you take these things on top of our already vulnerability, we are really susceptible to make some stupid decisions. And that's why we're talking about, first, take time to heal. Second, understand what your body is doing when you're engaging in some of these things that you're not in love yet. You could be. Just be wary of it, okay? So many of my friends out of my class thought they were in love and they got married. Most of them are divorced today. Okay? Anything else, Marnie, we need to cover?
Yeah, I just wanted to say some interesting thing that I've learned recently as we started to develop this class was all those hormones that he's talking about, we're constantly getting those when we're married. Our brain is getting flooded with those. They're meant to keep us bonded. But if you can imagine, when your spouse dies, what happens to those hormones? It's cut off. So not only are you grieving the loss of your love, you're those chemicals, you're going through drug withdrawal. You know? You can't sleep. You can't eat. You want that drug. And that man that I was dating, clearly he went and got that drug. You know? Some people do crazy things to get that drug back in their system. So there is this great relationship building tool that has been used to help many avoid getting in unhealthy relationships that we want to talk about. It's called the Relationship Attachment Model. And I've got a visual here up in a minute as soon as they can get it up on the... Perfect. Oh. So there's five dynamics to it, as you can see. And by the way, this reference is on your handout. It's from the book How to Avoid Falling in Love with a Jerk. And it is the best class I've ever taken. It is so good. Awesome, isn't it? Yes. Highly recommend it. If you can't find the class, get the book. How to Avoid Falling in Love with a Jerk. It's on the handout. There's all the references there. So here are the five dynamics. Know, trust, rely, commit, and touch. So if you can imagine, think of this as an equalizer on your sound system, okay? And as you move the bar up on each dynamic, it represents the extent to which you really know a person. So, for example, your best friend likely knows you better than anyone else. And why is this? It's because to the degree you have opened up and shared yourself, you have become bonded to your best friend. You can then move to the next level, of which is trust, and so on. So over time, the goal is to have all five at the top of the level where feelings of attachment are the strongest. So if you can imagine, all those bars are straight at the top level. So in dating, it goes the same. You need to get to know somebody first. You need to take time. Find out all you can about this person. See how they react with their children, how they handle stress, how they handle finances, what's their spirituality level. Find out the core values that are important to you and find out what they have. And it's just kind of like an investigation. You're going to take time to know this person. So once you feel you know this person, then it determines the degree to which you should trust them. This trust directs you in choosing what personal needs you have that you can rely on him to meet, which is the next level. You should be committed only to the extent that you know, trust, and depend on that person. And finally, any degree of physical involvement is safest when it matches the content of the levels of the other four dynamics. So, how often do people put the physical first?
I'll be honest.
How many times do people start with a physical affection and attitude? Well, I have to know if there's chemistry. Well, we just talked about all these chemicals that go on when you have physical. Kelly brought out a good point once that I thought was so good. If you're going out with someone, isn't that enough to know that you're attracted to them and there's some type of chemistry? Well, I haven't done the online thing, so I don't know. So I guess it's different. But you know, usually when I meet someone, there's a direction, so you go out. So
there's a guy perspective and a girl perspective. A guy's not going out with you unless he's interested in you.
So this is a crucial concept.
Yes, that's true.
Was there a point someone needed to make?
The follow-up was, well, interested in some part of you, and that's also true. He's attracted, let's just put it that way.
So, there's one very, very important thing to remember about this whole concept. The most important concept is to keep a balance among the five dynamics. Never go further in one bonding area than you have gone in the previous. You can't trust on, and rely on a person if you don't know them. Yes.
So we were actually going through this whole calling of the fourth calling of your class when I met my cousin Jeff, and he was going through the same thing. And so anyway, I was seeing a therapist, just a little old group, but he actually challenged me, like, don't kiss this man for 3 months. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Anyway, but in those 3.5 weeks being together every day, like, that's a long time. And it was the most amazing thing for us because we talked about it, and it was like, we're not going to do this. And we were able to do all these other things, and I got to know him better than I've ever gotten to know anyone else, like, just that way, that...
The core self of the person without the chemicals.
Really following this process and really, like, getting to know each other.
When I met my husband, he was actually in Dominican Republic serving his mission. And I was living in Salt Lake City. I was engaged for somebody else. So I met my husband, and I knew he would be my husband. So I waited for him 18 months. We just write each other. So we see one time after he did his mission, we don't kiss. But I was like, what are you doing?
Well, there's your final, yeah, you have to get that point to know. It's almost like you have to go to each level to decide when is the time to delete him.
Exactly.
Okay?
Something that I have to tell you. When you say moving forward, what does that mean, moving forward? That I have to forget what I have with my husband? You know who I am right now? I'm happy, my children and I are great because of the relationship that I have with my husband. That is what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for somebody that is my husband. I want to feel the peace, the embracing, the butterfly that I have with him. Because it's important. For me, it's a white love and red
love. It's about that. Oh, yeah.
No, that's a great comment. It's part of her culture. It's okay. Yeah, we're running late, so we want to give you a little bit of a pattern that we've done. And I appreciate the... What's your name that talked about not kissing for Amy? Okay. So here's kind of a thing that works really, really well. After I made all of my mistakes because I was vulnerable and the chemicals, I mean, I loved kissing. Seriously, it was fun. But I wasn't thinking clearly as part of it. So I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to build a relationship first. I want to get to know people. And I figured this out when I met Denise, basically. And so when I first met her, I wasn't going to kiss for 2 months. Those were my goals. And I had done that on other people, and some women actually got upset with me. You kidding? No, I'm not. See ya. But that's what I decided I was going to do, 2 months. Then we actually read books together on dates, a book called His Needs, Her Needs, fantastic, or The Anatomy of Peace. You read them together out loud as your date because they force you to talk about things you would never consider while you're dating. Dating is all about marketing and packaging. You're getting the best you got while you're dating. So how do you take that down? Okay? So we traveled. I would recommend going someplace with somebody. Obviously, you don't stay in the same room, but travel. That will tear down the person that you've got. You will know them in a hurry, who you're dating, by traveling with them. So I would recommend that. And my goal was at least I would date for a year because I didn't want the hormones to influence my thinking. There was a lot of cognitive stuff through this. And I get it's a pain in the butt. I get it. But when I saw how many of my friends were getting divorced, I thought it was worth the effort to work my way through it the right way. Todd, did you have a comment?
No, I was just scratching my head.
Oh, you were scratching your head. Another one. So just a little bit of a pattern on some of the things that you can do that you might find helpful. We're not saying this is how you do it. All we're trying to tell you is be careful. Know that these issues are out there. We all move in different ways. We all progress differently. You're going to fall in love differently. Heidi?
Kelly, I don't know how many of you know my story that happened 2 months ago. We went to the physical way before we got to really know each other. But when I take that off the table, then all my concerns, all the questions that I have actually started coming. And I felt like the Lord was finally able to break through that barrier because that was off the table.
Yeah.
And so if I learned anything from that, it's to absolutely take that off the table.
Okay.
And get to know him.
Right.
The other thing is, if you've dated for 5 months and haven't met their family, but
yep. Exactly. She's got a great story to tell. If you've got a minute, sit down with her. She's got a great story. So look, we talked about these chemicals. They act like being on ecstasy. That's what your brain feels like. The still small voice cannot compete with ecstasy. And so that's why we're saying you're in a tough place. Be ready, understand where you're at, and know what's happening so that you can be a little smarter to work yourself through this.
Okay. I think we have time just to talk a we'll talk just a little bit about how men and women think differently when they date, and then we're going to move into the spiritual deception because we're running out of time. But for Kelly, tension here.
Sorry.
Squirrel. So we're going to talk a little bit about how we date differently.
Okay.
How we think differently. So why don't you talk about how you feel, and we'll
Yeah, so we talk. It's really important for the sisters to understand. And guys, if I'm wrong here, you know, it could just be me. So stand up for yourself if I'm wrong. Guys are different from girls. Any revelation there? Okay. So here's what we do. We'll kiss you all day, night, whatever. We don't, you know, but it doesn't mean that we're in love with you. Okay. I know that might feel hurt. That might hurt, but that's kind of true. We don't mean to hurt, but we're happy to kiss. We like it. As I've been told, when a woman kisses, it means something to them. And it's not that it doesn't mean something to us. It just doesn't mean as deep as it does to you. And if we do something nice for you, it also doesn't mean that we're really into you. We're just being nice. So that can create some curveballs for you guys to get through. We hear all the time, well, he takes me to dinner, or he bought me this. He's got to be into me. He's got to like me. Maybe not. When I was dating, one of my friends got pregnant, and I bought her a car seat. I bought her a crib. You might think that would mean that I was, you know, in love with her or meant something. I just wanted to help her. It was that simple. I used to go mow lawns. I would shovel the snow during the wintertime. I just did things like that because I thought I was being helpful to the widows. So, you know, just take that for what it is.
Yeah, I just want to. I'm thinking about the experience you told me about how so many women you dated were so lonely and so desperate for a man that they would just throw themselves at you, and then they would become really frustrated.
Uh-oh. Wish you'd have said that.
when they find out you're dating other women, and to them a kiss meant commitment, and to you it was just like, well, I'm just enjoying it, and I'm not really committed, and so that hurt them, and they call you what?
A player. Yeah.
So,
which they should have. You know, I was just taking what was offered basically, but it wasn't my right. I should have been in a better place. So we're all in different places, and I'm owning that. But that's why we're saying just be careful. Not everything means what you think it means.
I think that's where this comes back to get to know the person, have a lot of communication. I had a friend who she went out on a date with a man. They said, hey, this was nice. Let's do it again. So they go out again, and they're like, okay, I really enjoy your company. How about we now just date nobody else for a week? So they're communicating this. Like, okay, yeah, let's do that. So on that third date, they go to the library and they get a book called 101 Questions to Ask Someone You Want to Get to Know. And for the next 6 weeks, that's all they did. And she said it was amazing. She goes, I got to know this person on a level I never would have thought to even ask these questions. And they are blissfully happy now. She said it took 5 weeks before they had any type of physical affection because they made that clear at the beginning of the relationship. And so communication is really important. It's just trying to get to know a person.
I have a philosophy, and it's just me, but I think...
Can you hear her?
I think no. The speed...
I have a philosophy, and it's just me, but I think the speed at which your thoughts are coming helps you define on whether it's the spirit or the adversary. If it's saying, I need to move this fast, 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 and your thoughts are moving fast, 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 and there's a lot of passion, then it may not be the spirit. Anyway.
Thank you. That's a great segue. That's why I'm grabbing the mic from you, because we're at the end. The last thing that happens to us as widows and widowers, man, we have an overabundance of revelation. And I'm not saying that it's bad, okay, but we do. We have a lot of it. We feel like spouses come and talk to us, or that our spouse is talking to somebody else. And I am not saying that you don't have those, but what I am saying is keep it to yourself. My personal experience was in my 7 years, there were seven women who had revelation that they were supposed to marry me. Yes, none of them were Denise. And all of them shared that with me, and what do you think I did? I ran like crazy because I wasn't in the same spot. We progress differently. I've said this a couple of times. Getting married is a lot about timing. And it's not our timing. It's God's timing. That's why we say, be healthy, take care of yourself and your emotions, get out there and go after it, but be patient in the process. I can tell you right now that I had my heart broken so many times. I was one of the guys, I thought I had a revelation to marry another widow. I felt so strongly about it. And I can tell you now, if we'd got married, I would have ended up in a divorce. I know it. And so just be very careful the way you go through this. When I talk about timing with Denise, we met online. We never met in person. We communicated. Then I went into my down thing. She went into her down thing. 2 years later, I was coming out of this relationship that I said I had the revelation about. Didn't work. I moved on. I was cleaning out email. I saw one from her, so I stalked her on Facebook. I sent her a message. I said, are you married? No. So we went out. And that's how the process, 2 years. If we had met then, we wouldn't be married today. She wasn't ready, and I wasn't available. So understand the timing principle in all of this, okay? Marnie, did you have anything you wanted to say? So again, just be careful of the revelation thing. If you have one, fine. If it's true, it'll work its way out. Promise. Time will tell you one way or the other, but keep it to yourself. Don't make it part of your dating process. All right, any questions? Let me just say this. I can tell you now, as I look back over my 7 years, I saw God's hand the whole way. It's so easy now to see where he was nudging me and pointing the way. But so many times I had broken hearts with failed relationships and being hurt, breaking hearts and getting my heart broken. I was angry. I remember being frustrated with God. But he was there the whole time. And now, standing where I'm standing, I'm just saying, let God do his work. Be patient with yourself. Enjoy your life. Love the journey. Go out and make some things happen. And along the way, somebody's probably going to come. I feel for you. I've been where you are. My heart breaks for the situations that we find ourselves. But I promise you, whether you marry or not, God can make a happy life with you. And I testify that he lives. I know he does. I'm so grateful for the wonderful woman that he brought into my life. It's amazing. I thought I could never love again. And guess what? I can. And I can love just as strongly as I did before. And I bear that witness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.